Hi, everyone. This is Cohen Esri, Apartment Investors. My name is Lydia Kincaid, and I'll be our moderator on today's podcast. We also have Ryan Huffman, our Chief Operating Officer. We have a special guest today, Stefan Zajanko. He is our asset manager for the firm, and we're going to be focusing on our market rate apartment portfolio through CEAI. But Stefan, I'd like to go ahead and turn it over to you since we're talking today about the importance of asset management. Can you start by sharing with our audience a little bit about who you are, what your background is, and how you came to be working with us at Cohen Esri?
Okay. I've got over 40 years of experience, I guess, in the commercial real estate business. And early on in my career, my first job was with a mortgage banking company. I don't think they use that term anymore, but it was a company, a subsidiary of Chase Manhattan Bank, now JP Morgan Chase, where we made construction loans to developers. And on one side of the house, we made the construction loans. And on the other side of the house, originations team found the permanent debt. So during the construction period, as a construction loan officer, and visited properties, collected lien waivers, funded the construction loan, monitored the transaction till it was completed, leased, occupied, and then it turned over to the mortgage banking group to place the loan. Fast forward, in between, I've worked for other institutional lenders and investors. And the last 19 years, before I started First Avenue Asset Management, I worked for GE Capital, General Electric Capital Corp, in their commercial real estate group, focusing on affordable housing, where in that about 1996 or 7, met Lee Harris and Cohen Esri. Cohen Esri was a customer of GE Capital's. We developed with Cohen Esri, or they developed 9 properties. We financed the construction. We were the equity investor for the tax credits. And GE also was the permanent lender for those transactions. They were all developed over, say, a 3-year period. And tax credit properties, having about a 15-year life, managed the asset through the construction period, through the lease-up period, through the 15-year compliance period. At the end of the 15-year compliance period, Cohen Esri sold their general partnership interest to another client of the company. And I maintained a relationship with Cohen Esri over the years, and Lee Harris specifically, anytime I was in Kansas City, because we had lenders in Kansas City we dealt with, stop in, say hello, and maintain that relationship. Then fast forward about 9 years ago, GE Capital decided they wanted to be out of the commercial real estate business, sold its portfolio. I left the company and started First Avenue Asset Management, working with some of my prior GE clients, providing valuation services as they worked through their portfolio, sold their portfolios, and with several other clients, took runs at acquiring portfolios from other institutions, and successfully picked up a couple of portfolios. And I worked with a developer to dispose of about a 25-asset portfolio that I still work with, a few of the assets, but disposed most of the portfolio over a 5 or 6 year period. Back in about 2014, after I'd started the business, I connected with Lee and told me about an interesting program that Cohen Esri was starting. And I know you said that you wanted this to be short, but I started a program called Cohen Esri Apartment Investors, and was in its infancy. And he asked whether moved forward, I'd have an interest in providing some asset management services for the properties in the portfolio. And about 2015, I think that closed on the first couple of assets, and there it started. Currently, we asset manage, I think it's 16 CEAI deals, and there have been probably a half a dozen that were also acquired, and some were disposed of over the last five years. And our role has expanded to include now also 18 Cohn-Essery Development Group affordable housing transactions. And it's been a great relationship for me, and hopefully for Cohn-Essery as well.
That's right. It definitely has been. Ryan, you know, we've talked on some of these other podcasts about, you know, like the history of the company and even CEAI, some different iterations. I mean, creative deal structures too. Stefan, you could have been on that one. But maybe, Ryan, for this next question, just for you, can you talk about maybe some things we were noticing in our portfolio that caused you and Lee to think, well, maybe let's bring Stefan in around that 2015? And then even, I mean, I've been here since 2013. I've seen over time us utilizing Stefan even more with the portfolio, not only as the portfolio grows, but as like kind of our learnings have occurred and the things that we need to pay more attention to. Can you walk us through what that timeline and what that has looked like?
Yeah, and I think I would start with, you know, some of this comes from, we'll go a little bit farther back in time. I mean, over my 20 plus years of doing this, I've worked with a lot of clients, and you see a lot of different things in how clients work and how clients operate. And so starting out, if you're somebody that's a small operator, for example, I've seen those clients be very heavily involved in their properties, right? It's an investment, and you should do that. As you grow and scale, though, you have less and less time to spend on what I'm going to call the true asset management or the involvement with these investments. And that's really where asset management becomes a critical function, because they function as the owner. They're there to advise. They're there to advise at high levels. So anything from portfolio valuations to data sets. But at a critical mass, you really need to consider asset management, because you just can't juggle everything. You can't juggle going out and looking for new property, equity, debt, all of those things. And if you're in the development world, it's even more things you have to do. So I think as you grow, asset management should be a scale. Now, let's talk about what our philosophy is. A lot of folks hire asset management in-house, and so they have these asset management divisions. My personal philosophy is that's like the fox watching the hen house. So you've got the same person signing the asset management checks that's signing the property management checks and all the team members. And so there tends to be kind of strife created there, and maybe not the alignment of interest that you want. What you're really looking for is an unvarnished look and an unvarnished opinion of how our property management unit is functioning, and how our investments are functioning. And for me, that is best outsourced to a third party. And so, as Stefan indicated, when, you know, we had a great relationship with him at GE, as GE was winding down all of their operations, Stefan decided he wasn't ready to retire yet. And so we said, well, why don't you form an asset management group, and you can be our arm's length asset manager that handles all of those functions. The last piece of asset management that's really critical as you scale is investor relations and investor reporting. And so you need a function to do that, and that's typically an asset management function. So it all just works for us in terms of how our portfolio operates today.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Ryan, talking about our process of scaling and how critical that this has been for us as well. So Stefan, what do you consider some of the most important pieces of your role? What are some of the things that you look at and pay the most attention to when you're working with these specific properties?
I think a good asset manager has a financial mindset and set of skills that not only looks at the real estate, but obviously the performance of the property. Part of my career, I also spent about 5 years on the, call it the dark side, the Cohn-Essery side, the development side, the ownership side, where I owned a portfolio with some partners that I'd worked with before of apartment properties and rehab and development in Chicago, and saw that side of the business. So, you know, I looked to the Cohn-Essery portfolio from not only the investor's perspective or lender's perspective, but as a the development perspective, where are people performing and where they may not be, what the business plan is for the property, and the execution of the business plan. Are we on time? Are we behind schedule? Where are the kinks in not only the property performance, but meeting the business plan objectives and the pro forma for the property? It's helpful to have construction experience, and I think architectural experience, understanding the real estate. After all, it's not a security, but a physical asset. And again, back to my experience as a construction lending and what have you. I toured buildings under construction, inspected buildings under construction, from industrial buildings to 60-story condo high rises in Chicago and other parts of Florida and other parts of the country. I mentioned the financial mindset. These properties are $30, $40, $50, $60 million businesses, and they're being operated by somebody remotely. And I think that's, why I think the asset management role is important. To bring issues to, as Ryan said, to ownership, and also acting in the role as of asset management, we try and be impartial, reporting out to the lenders and to the investors as well. So, bringing those skill sets, I think. Important to the role, and I think most asset managers operate that way. But I think impartiality is helpful as well, critical actually.
And I think, Lydia, to put a kind of an exclamation point or add to this, one of the questions that may come up from folks is, and what I hear a lot is, how are property management and asset management different? Right? People think those are the same functions, and they definitely are not. The way you look at it is, property management is operational execution. And asset management is all strategy. So you really have to be this strategy-minded, as Stefan, you said, financially-minded individual. Yeah, property management can do the blocking and tackling and put the residents in and collect the rent, do the maintenance runs, but somebody really looking at financial performance and really being able to look higher level at the strategic execution is really where asset management comes into play in a very, very big way.
Stefan, maybe you can share with our audience just a handful of the specific questions that you go through with the property managers. I know you talk with them weekly because I see those reports. So maybe just share just a few of the data points that you're collecting as you're having those meetings.
Sure. Weekly, we have a tool at the CoNESR developed, the asset management snapshot. It collects prior week's performance on a number of fronts, starting with how much traffic came through the door and toured the property, how many of those people converted to lease applications, how many of those lease applications actually passed through the kind of resident underwriting process, how many were denied, how many canceled, how many changed their mind, et cetera. And also looking at the exit comments of the folks that tour these properties to see what caused them not to rent at the property. And when they apply, it's a win, right? Something was right. It's also important to know what was wrong or why they didn't convert. We look at the delinquency, see what the residents that are delinquent, what their status is. Are they moving towards eviction? COVID sort of put a big stop on that activity, just because owners were limited as to how they could deal with a resident who wasn't paying their rent. We look at the, we discuss staffing and staffing needs and where there are open positions, why there's a delay in the delivering units. Are we going to have units, or are you going to have units that you can't deliver because you're short-staffed on maintenance? And that's a big issue in the industry. across the country, hearing that not only on this portfolio, but all over. Marketing efforts that the property is performing. Do they have all the signage up? Oftentimes we ask the question and it's, oh, I ordered signs, but there, you know, there's a new sign company and they're not delivering for whatever the reason is. And so, and our flags and banners and ground signs are sitting somewhere in a warehouse or in production. And as a result, people don't know you're open for business. We talk about the net promoter score that that you guys track. Survey results from people who have a maintenance request, who tour the property, who leave the property, who move into the property, and what their experiences are and their satisfaction with the company. We look for trends. Hopefully in a positive trend, but a negative trend is more important, actually. Find out why people are unhappy. And it could be any number of things. A leasing person, and that may also correlate to the tour traffic conversions I mentioned earlier, why people aren't leasing there. We roll up all that information into a summary that we report to Ryan and the head of property management weekly, along with that, rolling up all that information into a report, a spreadsheet, if you will, that kind of shows what the portfolio performance looks like from an occupancy standpoint, projected occupancy, how many units are pre-leased. Summarize the amount of walk-in traffic and conversions to applications from that, come up with a percentage for the portfolio, number of units that are completed and waiting to be moved into, the delinquency summary and the trend line, whether it's improving or not, and your recommendations there. And it sort of shows how each property compares to others in the portfolio. When you roll it all up into a portfolio health report, you see where the problem transactions are for senior management to see in one place at one time.
Yeah, so I mean, this is just a lot of very detailed, granular information about all of the properties in our funds, and this is exactly why we need an external asset manager to oversee all this information. Ryan, I'm going to turn it over to you next and ask what your advice is, maybe for other sponsors or investors listening in who might be considering having some sort of asset management program or person. But Stefan, if there's one piece of advice you could give an owner regarding asset management, what would that be?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. And I think it's responsiveness, coming from a corporate, the other side of the business, decision, no one had authority to make any decisions, right? So it had to go to a manager, to a committee, to in some cases, all the way up to the chairman of General Electric, Jack Welch, made decisions based on requests down at the asset manager's level. You guys have the ability to make a decision, whether it's to acquire a property, whether it's to dispose of a property, whether it's a problem with an individual resident at a property. I know, you've got a hotline that residents can call and the requests get escalated if there's a problem. Generally, people call when they have a problem that they don't think is being resolved. And from what I've seen over the last 8 years or so, you guys are responsive. I mean, Ryan can make a decision on the spot. The head of property management can make a decision on the spot. And it And so I think that's the to me impressive to have that ability, again, coming from the other side of the world, the institutional side, to see developers in action, being able to react and make decisions. But, you know, and our role is, or one of our roles is to have input to help make those decisions. So we try to be, I'm one of those persons who at the end of the day doesn't want anything on his desk. I don't want any unanswered emails. I don't want any phone calls in my inbox that I haven't responded to, even if it's just, I got your message and I'll get back to you. I need to find out. And so that's just, you know, I think one of the things, hopefully, that is a plus for you guys as well, that somebody's handling it, and you know, whether it's, you know, an asset management function or investor request, it's just, you know, being responsive, making a decision, mm-hmm. an informed decision, but making a decision.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, what would you have to say in terms of advice?
Well, I mean, my advice, and I'll kind of tie all this together for us as we wrap up here, but, you know, Stefan mentioned that the tool and an asset management that was ultimately created as my brainchild, but that we use, called the Snapshot Report. And here's how that brainchild came about. I had a client once that had a report that they called the WIGS report, which for them was wildly important goals. And what that WIGS report taught me early on is, you have to be a predictor in the asset management world, and as an owner yourself. And there are what we call lead indicators that show how a property is going to perform. In the past, we used the financial statement as a review tool. Well, here's the reality. By the time the financial statement comes out, that's already happened. So you really need to be looking at the future of where things are going to go. What are those future indicators? Traffic and conversion is definitely a lead indicator. Are you getting people in the door? Are those folks converting to leases? Monitoring real-time delinquency is a lead indicator, because that will show you, do you have folks not paying? Is everybody paying? What's really going on with the property? We really focus on that lead occupancy figure. So not only what is the occupancy today, but what's the forecasted occupancy up to 60, 90 days out? Because that can make you shift strategy today. If you're seeing a property 95% occupied, but its long-term forecast is 85, you can make adjustments right now in your marketing, in your closing, in personnel, to not get to that 85 and get the property back up. So make ready is another one we focus on, because you want to have inventory ready. So I'm giving folks kind of a snapshot of, why do we focus on all this data? It's because it's showing us what's going to happen if we don't do something today. And that's what really guides strategy when you're looking at it. So my piece of advice to folks is, start finding out what your lead indicators are and monitoring and tracking them. One of the things that we do with this report, I don't let people just push a button and run system reports. They have to run the reports and they have to put it in the spreadsheet, so that they're literally looking at the data and thinking through what they are seeing. And that has helped managers react better, and regional managers react better, by actually having to look at that data and synthesize it. So, you know, some of them are old school methods that you're hearing, right? People are automating everything, but honestly, if you automate, it's whatever went in is what's going to come out, and what went in may not be correct, which we find a lot. And so it's a super interesting cross check that allows us to more effectively predict and manage the portfolio.
Thanks, Ryan. Good advice all around. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Stefan, for being our guest today. Really appreciate your insights as we talk about asset management.